bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Always remember, you can check us out live on YouTube and at 1017thetruth.com. Just make sure you hit the subscribe button, and then you can actually watch us or listen live. So we've got a special guest here, and I'm saying special only because the first time I met her was on LinkedIn. And, you know, sometimes you send people things on LinkedIn and you go and you hit the button and go, hey, you know, I'd love to have you on the show. And then you think, OK, well, she's the Milwaukee Public School superintendent. She just got here. She'll probably. Like 3 minutes later, she goes, hey, I'd love that. Here's the number of the guy you should contact us. Oh, OK. And so I have in studio the Milwaukee Public School superintendent, Brenda Casalius. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Welcome to Milwaukee.
I love Milwaukee.
And welcome to Milwaukee Black Talk.
All right. Bring it on.
And so there are so many questions, but I know everyone is just begging to ask, so let's just get that out of the way. Were your reports that were due sent to Department of Public Instruction?
Some of them were. So we had a list of things that we had to get to the Department of Public Instruction. They have been terrific partners, let me just say that, and terrifically patient with us, but also, you know, holding us accountable and holding us to what we need to do to deliver on that, as they should. And so, but I think the public knows that I stepped into something that was quite a snarled a complex budgeting situation and finance situation, and it's just going to take some time to clean it up. And so, you know, with delivering what the state needs and then also coming to the state with a really clear plan forward and how we won't be in this mess any longer, I think is what they needed to see to be able to have confidence in us. So I think, you know, they'll continue to hold us for the final things that need to get delivered this week. And then as we continue to finish out our audit with our auditors, then they'll release the funds for us as that moves along.
Is there a time frame for when you expect everything to be in and caught up?
Well, I think that everything needs to be into them, well, obviously, back on May 16th, to be, you know, truthful. But, you know, we are continuing to work on it. Our team is there around the clock. You know, you may have heard that I moved the finance division up outside the superintendent suite for greater work product, and also for me just to see close up what our delays were and to understand better the workflow that was going on. as a person who's not an accountant, to really be able to understand what was the barrier. And there are significant barriers with our system talking to the state system, and that's what's causing what's called these errors. And so we needed to be able to clear up those errors, and that just takes manpower to do. And so we are doing that diligently. We've cleaned up almost all of them, and hope to have all of them cleared up within the next day or so, delivering them what they need to be able to run their calculations on time. I have no doubt that they'll be able to get what they need from us by end of week. But it's also them being assured that our numbers and our systems are talking, and that's what the auditors do. So I think that might take another 2 weeks probably for the auditors to finish their work.
Okay, so let's rewind. Who is Dr. Brenda Casalius? Where are you from? How'd you end up in education?
Well, I grew up in the Southeast Projects in public housing to a single mom in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so I'm from Minnesota. I think a lot of people think I'm from Boston because I was superintendent there during the pandemic time. But I was state commissioner of education in Minnesota under Governor Mark Dayton for 8 years. I've been a school paraprofessional. I served students who were emotionally behavior disturbed as a teacher's aide, and then moved my way up to being a teacher, social studies teacher, and a school leader, and then a district leader, superintendent, and state commissioner. And so that's who I am. I have three beautiful children. I was a single mom for 10 years. So I know what that's like and how hard that is, you know, to work full time, doing the grind and then going to school in the evenings to get my administrative degree, get my superintendent's license, and to make sure that my children were taken care of.
So why education? Of all the things you could have done with all the education you have?
I have a family of educators on my dad's side. My dad's African-American and my mom is Lebanese. And my dad, even though he didn't live with us, he, for all of my years in childhood, he was a big part of my life and who I was and the legacy of my grandfather and grandmother. Both my dad's parents, they are both professors at Florida A&M University, historically black university. And my grandfather, Melvin Alston, was a business teacher and also the president of the Negro Teachers Union in Norfolk, Virginia. And he fought for black teachers to get the same pay as white teachers. And nice little fact is there's this pretty new lawyer at the NAACP, Thurgood Marshall. And Thurgood Marshall was my grandfather's lawyer.
Wow.
And they won that case.
Yes, they did.
It was one of the first cases, you know, that he had won in federal court, and it was a case that led to and made case study for Brown.
Interesting.
So I knew that legacy. I knew education was important. My grandmother was also the first African American to be appointed by Governor Askew to the Leon County School Board, and so they're very prominent educators, and it's always been an interest. And not to mention, you know, people paid it forward for me when I was a kid. And I had government programs and social programs and a social safety net that helped get me through, get me out of poverty. And so I took advantage of every single opportunity in front of me. I was a camp kid. I went to camp for 2 weeks out of every summer. I was in athletics at the local park and rec board. I had coaches. I had teachers. I had mentors. I had people in the community looking out for me. You know, my nickname, I don't think I've told anybody this yet in Milwaukee, but my nickname was Peanuts. And so, I just had a lot of love. I'll say that I, grew up in poverty, but I never had a poverty of love. And I think when children are loved and they have opportunity in front of them, they will meet those expectations.
So what's your future? What does MPS look like when you leave?
Well, I hope that the district will have addressed all of the issues within the operational audit. We have an academic audit coming out shortly. Obviously, our black children are at the rock bottom for performance on standardized testing as compared to their national peers across 25 other large urban districts. I would love to see us move that needle for us to be in the top 10. And so that is important to me. I've always dedicated my life to children who are experiencing poverty and children who are black and brown like myself. And that's my life vocation and what I believe God put me on this earth for and why God brought me to Milwaukee, and that is to make a difference for our black and brown children and our children who are most vulnerable.
What are some of your immediate changes? I know you did a, what's the word I want to use, a switcheroo as it relates to a good number. And it's strange because people know I've been beating up NPS for 4 years.
Now you're going to have something good to talk about. That's good.
Absolutely. I'm a product of Chicago public schools. Okay. I support public, private, whatever the best way is for a student to learn.
Yep.
But I think one of the most important things is to identify and make sure that public schools are there and they're doing well.
Yeah.
And that's why you were brought in early.
Yeah.
Right? So you made changes where you moved paraprofessionals, you moved whoever out of the administrative office and back into the schools.
Licensed teachers.
Right. The first thing I noticed was that there seems to be an inordinate amount that we have a shortage of teachers, but they're at the office.
Well, we have currently 231 vacancies of classroom mm-hmm. teachers. Mm-hmm. That to me is unacceptable. Every child deserves a caring and competent teacher and a permanent, licensed, experienced teacher in their classroom. And the fact that we had so many at the district office and not enough in our classrooms, permanent classroom teachers, mm-hmm. was a concern of mine. Now, certainly, many of these teachers are considered itinerant teachers, meaning they do provide support to children within schools, and they do go out to schools and provide additional support. But what's missing here in the overall picture is that there are still 231 teachers who don't have a permanent teacher all day with them. And so that to me seems to be a priority, and that's what I want to work on. And so not only will this help with putting some of those positions back in schools, but what will also help is that we will just set our mindset in that our priority is children. And our priority is a permanent teacher. Our priority is that they're licensed and capable and able to do this work. And that's where they are. On the other hand, it's a strategy that I'm shifting from more of a centrally focused strategy to one where we build the capacity within the school and that those services are provided within a school building.
Do all teachers have to be certified?
All teachers are to be licensed.
Well, licensed. Okay.
And there are too many teachers in our classrooms who have permits, mm-hmm. Which are short-term permits. And we provide support to them through mentoring so that they can get their permanent license. And then there are when we don't have teachers available, then there are substitute teachers. And then there are teachers who are paraprofessionals, who are teacher assistants, who may hold an associate's degree. But not necessarily licensed in the methodologies and, you know, big word called pedagogy of, really instruction and mm-hmm. understanding all the learners you have in front of you. And so we want to make sure that we have experienced, caring, competent, licensed personnel. And that means a lot more work with our HR department to ensure that they're going out there recruiting some of our young teachers, growing our own and making sure our paraprofessionals who love and care for our students and have been in our schools already have what they need to become licensed teachers and get the right kind of experience to be prepared for working with our students and, you know, making sure that our elementary teachers are steeped in literacy instruction and understanding literacy instruction. You ask me, what do I want for the district to look like? I want our kids reading. And I want to make sure that our teachers have what they need to be able to affect that change.
Okay. Is there anything, but before we go to break, I want to ask you, is there anything that parents, supporters, teachers, anybody needs to understand about NPS today?
Well, I think what they should know is that I think that there are a lot of bright spots within NPS that, you know, you can take what's good and make it even better. And I think that there are some things that are really broken. And so we'll work on those things that I think are systemic that we need to fix. A lot of those are identified by the governor's audit and will be revealed in the governor's academic audit. And so we will diligently work on those things, but it will take time. And I think that, you know, we will work with the urgency that is necessary and that our students deserve. but it does also take time. And I know it's been frustrating for leadership turnover within the district and frustrating that maybe they don't get the kind of response time that they'd like. But I'm also working on transparency and rebuilding trust with the community. And I think that that's important. And one of the first steps I took was creating a family and community engagement office. And we'll be working through our parent coordinators. We'll be creating some revisions with our district advisory council, which is our parent advisory council, and adding two additional councils, one for parents with students with special needs, and then another one for parents whose students speak a language at home that is not English.
We are talking to Dr. Brenda Caselius. She is the, I'm sorry, Caselius.
Caselius.
Caselius. Sell. Caselius.
Like you're selling something.
All right. Superintendent of the Milwaukee Public Schools, when we come back, your questions, 833-212-1017 is the number. You can hit us on the YouTube chat or the talking text line when we come back. I do have a question, and then I got a series of questions I want to ask you so that people can actually get to know you.
Okay.
But I see there are people here that are like, you know, sitting here going, hey, I'm watching you. So. But we want to get to know you because we heard a lot about the interview. We saw the interview. But I think what happens sometimes is when people are in leadership, people don't get to know the person to recognize that they have a life and they have kids and they have, you know, I got to wake up and get ready like everybody else and get to work and all those things. And so I think it's important that we know our leadership.
Absolutely.
And I want to say thank you for being here.
Of course.
All right.
You'll have to have me back too.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Our guest is Dr. Brenda Caselius. See, I got it right. I'm really bad with names. I tell people up front, like, you know, if your name is Smith, I might mess that up too. So, our talking text line, a couple people have some questions. This from Ms. Nikki. Are there any plans to build a genuine partnership with parents, particularly those on the north side whose children are struggling the most, yet have not been meaningfully invited to engage or collaborate with the district? It's clear that the current model of having parent coordinators in schools is ineffective, especially when they're not held accountable for increasing engagement. In fact, there doesn't even appear to be a measurable engagement goal or metric they're expected to meet.
Well, one of the things that the operational audit did show is that we don't do a good job of dashboarding and showing our measures and setting targets for ourselves and then reporting that out to the community. So we are committing to doing that and setting goals with the community. I am committed to a community-driven and community-led plan for strategic plan for the district that will begin in earnest probably somewhere toward the beginning of the school year. And we'll be doing that with our school board members. We'll be in every district. We also are planning some specific endeavors and partnerships with our Northside communities. And so they can see that. I don't want to talk about them now because I'm still forming those plans. But there will be attention to our Northside community because that's why I'm here. I'm here to work with our most vulnerable kids, our Black and Brown kids, and ensuring that they get what they need. And so there will absolutely be engagement. I will be showing up at that. My team will be there. And I also shared with you earlier in the first segment about how we're going to work with our parent coordinators, our social workers, and our school leaders to make sure that we're doing a good job with shared decision making. In Boston, we had what we called equity roundtables at our schools and implemented that. And then we did these an equity analysis whenever we made decisions and brought those to the board. I'm hoping to bring something very similar to Milwaukee and also to engage parents in a way where they feel valued, heard, and that their voices are at the table.
Math and reading. Why are those two so important?
well, you have to be able to compute, and, you know, money is what makes the world go around, and you got to know how to use it. You also know how to have to do a, you know, a checkbook and balance your books and manage your bills and that kind of thing. So obviously that's important, certainly in your jobs, and using data and understanding data is also really important. And so math is a skill that is transferable and is so important. And you can't do anything if you can't read. I mean, you just have to functionally be able to read to make it through your day, and, you know, to be able to, you know, even change the oil in a car. You have to be able to work computers and understand data and understand, you know, how much fluid you're putting in and be able to read the reports. And I mean, it's just, that's basic.
Okay. All right. So I got some personal questions I want to hit you with. But you got to answer them off the top of your head. So,
okay.
So I'm going to cover up all your notes and stuff. All right.
My notes.
So what have you done recently for the first time? And you can't count coming to Milwaukee.
Well, I think I shared in the first segment that I spent the Memorial weekend with my finance team, 12 hours on Saturday, 12 hours on Sunday, 12 hours on the holiday, on that Monday, kind of understanding. And I actually wasn't accounted for the first time, going in and looking at our journal entries and understanding their work and understanding, you know, the complexity that was before this challenge of trying to get our two systems to talk.
Apart from adding more time to your day, which clearly she needs, along with sleep, what would make the biggest difference in your life?
Having grandkids.
Ooh.
So I would love if I would. My oldest, as I said, I was a single mom for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I had him when I was 21, and he's now 30, going to be 36 next week. And I'm like anxious for some grandkids, but he's not even in a relationship right now. So it's going to be some time, you know, so I'll probably have him out of my two youngest who are 24 and 25 before he gives me one.
So you want me to make a copy of this and send it to him?
I would love that. Yeah. He's actually a videographer and editor and creative. And yeah, he's quite talented. All three of my children are artists. And so very, very proud of all of them, and they're following their passion.
What one thing do you have to do every single day?
Oh, well, I have to eat.
That was easy.
I suppose. I don't know. You know, I don't know that there's any. I think I have to work every day. I think that's one. I just have to give back and feel like I am living in my purpose every single day, or it's. I'm not happy. I don't have joy in my life. And so I need to know that I'm making a difference for children every single day. And I know that that sounds kind of, yeah, right, and people might be rolling their eyes. But it's absolutely true that, you know, before I came to Milwaukee, I was the nonprofit CEO at an organization called Fresh Energy, which is a climate organization. And it was absolutely, I learned something new every day. It was very rewarding. The people I got to work with were amazing. They're working on climate change, which I really, really believe in impacting and being a difference maker for my grandchildren, really, and deliver them a planet that they can thrive in. But there was still something nagging at me because I wasn't working in my lane that God had provided for me, which was to make a difference in the life of children every day. So I think I have to be doing something every day that directly impacts the life of children and the betterment for children, particularly children who are vulnerable or children who are experiencing poverty.
So what's the first thing you do in the morning when you wake up?
Usually I get up at 5:40 and then I try to go work out at 6:05 for my workout class. And then I, you know, start getting ready.
Okay.
But I check my phone, too, to see how busy the day is going to be. You know, so it's like some days it's you got 15 different meetings, you know, throughout your day. And, you know, you'll have 20-minute meetings, you know, and just gets back to back to back to back to back. So I always look and then I think about, okay, how can I dress today? Because I really hate dressing up. And so, you know, whenever there's like a day where it's mostly, you know, my team in the office or something like that, then I'm like, oh, I can wear pants. I don't have to dress up today.
Hmm. So she became the leader of the largest school district in Wisconsin. Okay. And you don't want to.
I'm not a fancy person like that. You know, I was telling you, you know, I put my pants on one leg at a time and I'm, you know, I'm an athlete. I consider myself an athlete. And so I don't really like to dress up. I hate going shopping for new clothes. That's just not my thing.
What song is in your head right now?
I don't even know. What were you just playing?
I catch everybody with that one.
What song is in my head?
I mean, what's your favorite song, your favorite group, your favorite
music? I like all kinds of music.
Mm-hmm. But if you had to, if you were on an island and somebody said, this is what you have to listen to.
Probably reggae music if I was on an island. Cool jazz music or, but I like it all the way from like really, you know, stuff that you probably, you know, wouldn't think that a superintendent would listen to, you know, to smooth jazz. I like old school kind of soul R&B. And, if I have to turn on the music and feel good, I'm usually turning on some Luther or turning on Roberta Flack or, you know, something like that. I like that song, The Closer I Get to You. And I like that kind of soulful, you know, good music that makes you feel good.
Things that evoke some emotion so you can feel when
you're, absolutely.
When you're at work every day, working, making decisions. Sometimes you want to step away.
Yeah. And then I like to I like DJ EDM kind of stuff too, like dance music too. So when that's you want to get moving, you know, I like that kind of music, particularly if I want to, you know, start exercising. Like I can't exercise to soulful music. So I put on like the dance music. I really, really enjoy dance music. Like if I want to get an uplift.
Who's your guru? When you need that advice or that thing you remember that later you draw on, who's that?
So Dr. Carol Johnson was the superintendent of Minneapolis and in Memphis, and she is absolutely incredible. And if I ever need support or mentoring or a good word, I always go to Carol. She's just the best. I think she's one of the best superintendents in the nation. She's humble, but fierce, and just so kind and very disarming and very authentic, and she just knows instructional leadership. She's wonderful.
Now, I know you mentioned wardrobe earlier. What in your wardrobe that you actually have to wear? Like it's your thing that you wear the most. Like when people see you, they remember you because they see you in that. Mine is I always button my collar.
Oh.
To the point where now if I unbutton my collar, people freak out. Oh my God, what happened? Like, what do you mean? I just unbutton my, right? Because it's become such a staple. What's your staple?
I like hoodies, so I like to wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants, or if it's, you know, the, you know, cool out or fall kind of weather, mm-hmm. then I wear those like yoga pants. So those are just really comfortable, and I love being in those because you can just move around and not have to worry about anything buttoned up or anything like that. So,
what can the teammates here at 101.7 The Truth do for MPS for you?
Well, I think tell our stories, are, you know, not just hold us accountable, which is great, and I appreciate that, you know, you hold us to the line, but make sure that we deliver on our promises, hold us accountable, and then like get folks on who are really doing the line work, our teachers, our paraprofessionals, our parent coordinators, have them come in and talk about the work that they're doing and how they're being challenged and how they're thinking new about the work in front of them and how they can get the community even further engaged. And so I think that would be helpful. Also, then when we have engagement opportunities into the community, getting that word out and have helping us to get people show up and maybe bring in the equipment out to the mm-hmm. out to the event and interviewing people while we're there.
Now we heard her. The next MPS event, she said, we're invited.
Yes, come on out.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. You know, I hope that people will see that I don't make fuzzy promises. If I don't think I can deliver on it, I stay quiet, you know, and I'm, you know, under promise, over deliver for our folks. And so I'm working hard to build and repair the trust with the community. And obviously that takes time. I'm new. I'm an outsider. I know my position that I'm an outsider, and I have to value the voices that are here in the community and listen to those and put them in action.
Now the talking text line, somebody on YouTube chat had a comment and a kind of a comment and a question about parenting, and that we tend to blame schools for kids not learning when in fact a good portion of that should go to the parent. How are you going to balance that? You understand kids come from some pretty rough homes.
Yeah.
But yet your job is to educate.
I've still never met a parent that doesn't love their child. And so I think it's a shared partnership with parents. And I don't think either partner has more or less. Obviously, it's what we get paid to do, and mm-hmm. We have a very big responsibility to that. But I really want to ask parents to make sure that their children are coming to school and that they're getting kids to school. From there, I can take it over, right? And making sure that they're fed, and we're feeding them in school too, and we're gonna have way better food next year, at least for our high school. At least for our high schools, we're working on that, and hopefully for all of our schools, we're going to get a central kitchen, and we're going to start working on that, right away. But I do need parents to help us with getting their kids to school. I think that's absolutely critical in the first step, and so I'll be asking for their partnership this fall because I want to set forward a pretty aggressive goal to improve our attendance next fall.
And so anything you want to add to the conversation? What does Milwaukee need to know right now?
I think it's just, that I'm here as a partner. I am only one person. No one person does this work alone. There is no way I'm a savior, but I can try to rally the resources and move that boulder up that mountain. And I have multiple boulders. I'm moving up multiple mountains right now, and I think it's going to take all of us. And so offering that I will play my part and asking for the support of the community to give MPS a chance and to see that we actually have great things that they can expect in the future.
So when you say give them a chance, I promise, last question. When you say give them a chance, is that a year, 2 years, 3 years?
It's right now. I need your support and partnership right now. We need your support and partnership right now, particularly with attendance. I think that there's work we need to do within the community to bring down the gun violence. We have almost 50 children who have died this year, and we have 24 who have died to gun violence. This is so traumatic to our students, and I had students talk to me about they hear gunshots out in their neighborhoods. They go to bed to gunshots. I just want to ask the community to put down their guns, to not have them. Lock them up if you have to have them, because children are dying accidentally. I think it's the number one cause of death for children. And the fact that I have so much outrage over lead in our schools, and I have still just one child with an elevated lead level, but I have 45 children who have lost their lives this year. There should be an absolute outrage. And so I really need the community's help in creating safer communities for our students, less trauma for them. Let's do the right thing. Our children deserve us to give them loving and caring homes that are violence-free.
Dr. Brenda Caselius, she is the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So when can I expect you back? Say 3 months or so?
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe right after start of school.
Okay.
And maybe I'll have some really good news to talk about then. And I'd be happy to share it then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So I'm interested, what did you think? Like, if you have any comments or questions about the interview, it wasn't meant to be a beat 'em up because she's literally not responsible for any of the issues that occurred at MPS. But by September, we should be able to know how well some of the changes she made are going to start fixing it. So if you have any questions or comments, I know Vincent called earlier and a couple people on the talk and text line, 833-212-1017 is the number. How'd it go? Yes, I know I did a little bit of a softball. That was on purpose because you don't want to run somebody away and have them never come back. I'm never going back. But let's also take a look at the fact that she's new to the job. She's new to Milwaukee. And we need to give her a chance. And it's going to take a few years. Like, it didn't – kids didn't learn how not to read and not to write instantaneously. So they're not going to learn how to read and write overnight. That makes sense. So I want to say thank you to Dr. Brenda Caselius, who is the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. 833-212-1017 is the number. Last week, I brought up a survey that I was trying to do to find out who you are. I don't know who you are and what you want from the truth. And so if you text survey, S-U-R-V-E-Y, to 833-212-1017, you'll get a link and you can fill out a quick survey to tell the truth. What do you want from us? Like, what do you, like, who are you and what do you want? You know, it asks some questions about you. We don't collect emails and phone numbers and all that stuff. But we want to know who you are. So we need you to fill out a survey. Give us an example of who our listeners are, who our fans are. And we'll in turn start to create, you know, content that we believe you'll like. Get sponsors that we believe you will go to and stuff like that. So text survey, S-U-R-V-E-Y, to 833-212-1017. And help a brother out. That's all I'm saying. Help a brother out. That's all I'm saying. So she made some interesting comments there. I want to see how the impact of bringing teachers back to schools. But the other thing is, we have so many talented people in the city, but we keep getting the same, if you're not licensed, then you can't teach. And I know that's a state law, but if you're not licensed, does that mean you're a bad teacher? No. And so passing tests and learning about kids, I think it's important. And I got no problem with being licensed. It's like being certified to be a law enforcement officer. If you can't pass the test, you can't do the job. I get it. But we have to come up with some ways. And so one of the ways MPS did is they let people teach on permits, right? It's like an emergency license where you come in and you teach because we need a teacher and you've got the qualifications and you're going to school and doing all that stuff. So we'll see how that works out. We'll see how that shakes out. I know a few people are really upset. And by the way, it'll take a little bit for you to get it sent back to you because it's a keyword. So just give it some time and eventually you'll get it. Because I tested it today for those of you, the 414-324 and also Gary. So, yeah, we're working on it. It's coming. So there are some things that are going on in the city of Milwaukee that we need to start taking a look at. She mentioned something about the school violence. And that's something that if kids don't have distractions, kids can learn. Coming from a one-parent household, coming from a drug-addled household, all those things, I've seen too many kids make it in spite of. And so while I am, watch this, empathetic and sympathetic to those things, I think that school is a great barrier to help you learn and do those things. So that means we're going to have to do things like extend the school day, possibly extend the school year, all those things. 833-212-1017 is the number. I know we're behind, but I'm going to have to squeeze Vincent in here. Vincent, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, Dr. Ken.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, doing well. It was good to hear from the superintendent. I wish we could have heard more about her plans. The fact is that many of Milwaukee Public Schools students are so far behind in academic disciplines
Right.
There needs to be a major plan to try to get them either to catch up or make sure that the ones that come behind are prepared when they graduate to come out into society. I wish she would have talked about maybe saying that ending social promotion would have been one of her ideas. Well,
she's got to get an idea of what's there first. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got to look at the numbers and the tests. Well,
that's something that she could have been thinking about in the future, you know.
Yeah, but you don't want to say that, Vincent, and then have people hold you to something, and then later you decide that actually something else is more important. Because to be honest with you, if we don't get the lead thing fixed, none of it matters.
Well, certainly. Though she has a lot on her plate. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying she doesn't. She has a lot on her plate. She walked into a nightmare. Again, thank you. Walked into a nightmare, but it needs bold ideas in order to try to get that nightmare to something that is cogent for these kids. So they can get themselves right.
Let me argue with you in one way. And the only reason I'm doing this because we're really short on time.
Okay.
We know what works for kids to learn.
Yes.
All we have to do is go back to it. Most people in society don't want to go back to that. They don't want to go back to normalizing society. Less crime.
Right.
Criminals go to prison. Have a household where you come home and do your homework, that you're not on social media 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Video games is mm-hmm. okay because you can actually learn a skill and actually make money at it, right? So we have to get back to all of us who they won't listen to, who are over the age of probably 40 or 50. They won't listen to when we tell them the only reason we got to where we are is because we went to a good public school or a good private or parochial school or whatever.
Exactly.
And we learned
the basics.
Right.
The basics.
Right.
And we didn't experiment over the years, keep coming down year after year, experiment with these kids. We're trying to do this new educational plan.
New math.
And they never work.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. But I do wish you would ask her, at least, would she have...
She's coming back.
Would she have thought about doing year-round school? Then that's one of the things I thought would hopefully get these kids back on track as well as year-round school. So some of those things I wish she would have talked about, but that's fine.
All right. Well, thank you much.
All right, Doc.
All right. Take care. Tune in to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth's Black Business Give Back this Friday at 3:57 between the Tory Lowe Show and me, Dr. Ken Harris, Truth in the Afternoon. We'll be joined by Erica Odom, owner of Odom Investments and Property Management. We'll be discussing how they're making a difference in the real estate world through their property management services and by offering competitive prices to buy your home. So again, tune in to the Black Business Give Back Spotlight with Odom Investments and Property Management this Friday, 3:57 on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
is the number for Truth in the Afternoon with me, Dr. Ken Harris. Top 5 at 5 is coming up. And I got to say this only because people talk so much trash. Saturday night, Indiana Pacers will return to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2000 after beating the New York Knicks in Game 6. And maybe their year. It's 2026. I don't know. That's what somebody gave me that one, so I had to steal it. But, you know, Knicks put up a good fight. They're a great team. I think over the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. I like the fact that two smaller market teams are playing for the NBA Finals. I think that is phenomenal. But I don't want to get hit in the head and cut off because I know people who are from – Harlem and I don't want to get whooped up and my microphone start doing this and not at all. I'm doing it myself, but I'm just saying. I don't want it to happen, and I don't do it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we got some Knicks fans up in here. But Halliburton did it. I mean, he turned on the Jets and did it. But I think the strange part about that game is that all of Indiana turned it on. All of New York did not. At the beginning of that game, it looked like New York was like, we were on it. But they were overcoming. I mean, they were shooting threes. Like, it was, and then they just took off. And they came close. I think they got within about 9 points, 8 points. And then the Pacers decided to outpace them. So, yeah, congratulations to the Indianapolis Pacers and congratulations to Oklahoma City Thunder. It is going to be a rocking time, I could tell you. And I'm only watching after game three, because after game three, I don't think it matters. So I'm just saying. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Hang around. Coming up, we got top five at five.